right? They end up in rehab. They end up all types of places because they did not keep their access point in the learning zone. They allowed the pendulum to swing outside into the anxiety zone. And so I have, you know, a minimum of 10 minutes a day that I'm a student of my calendar, which includes, beyond just studying what I have planned, what I don't have planned in my sleep, the Do It Now folder.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Next Level University, where we teach you how to level up in your life, your love, your health, and your wealth.
No matter where you are now or where you've been, there is a next level. We bring you 5 episodes a week, 4 of which are solo episodes with Kevin and I, and 1 world-class guest to help you get there.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by our friend and mentor, David Meltzer of the Playbook Podcast.
It is time to bring on Alan Lazarus and Kevin Palmieri. See, I got that Lazarus finally done completely. How'd you like that, Big Al? Anyway, let's show these people how a coaching session is supposed to be. We'll get started. Let's make it happen.
Boom. So, Dave, something you hear often is I feel momentum. That's something I've said many times. I don't think I understand what momentum actually is. So from a mathematical perspective, what is momentum and what does it actually mean and how do you know you have it?
So momentum is the compounding in the short term of energy. It is the acceleration in exponential growth of energy in one place in the short term, right? And we can see that most in sports. I know you guys are familiar with a sport called American football. And one of the things that we love and why football is the most popular sport, especially with women 2-1, is that it exemplifies momentum. Tennis is another one, right? It exemplifies momentum. You can see in the short term, basketball, you can see runs, right? Momentum shifting. And you can feel what? The energy changing. You can actually feel the aggregation, the compounding, the acceleration, the exponentiality of energy building in one specific area for a short period of time. And this is where it's so important to understand energy itself and the stop, drop, and roll methodology, because you can get too excited, right? And too much energy puts you off balance, which is why the momentum shifts sometimes big time and why you see big leads turn into losses, where if it was still at center, at neutral, building at a slower pace that our pragmatic cellular structure can handle is and can be much more secure and stable than the big momentum shifts that people experience in their lives, in their games, in everything.
When it shifts, Dave, is that like, is it an ego thing of you get too confident in something? Like, what is moving off center when it comes to momentum?
So with momentum, right, you as you, a pendulum, if you swing this way, it what has to swing back to the equal length. So what we want to do is allow that energy to come through us and stay as neutral as possible at our higher, you know, frequency, that plateau that we, you know, regulate each day to inch by inch get better and better. So the ego absolutely is the reason that we get too far over one way or another and we get too excited about where we are, just the same as we get too anxious or depressed about where we are. Remember, it's all about the law of gravity. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be at the right place at the perfect time. Then it's the law of Goya. If we go too far off center, the law of Goya is not as efficient, effective, and statistically successful. So if we allow all that energy to fool us, right, to create a need to be separate, superior, well, it's going to swing back and we're going to have a need to be inferior. And, you know, as much as there's a false facade of success, then we all of a sudden have a false facade of failure. And that's why people have anxiety, fear, depression, separation of all these things when they have momentum. How many times in your guys' life, and I know because you're younger, you know, you get all these big wins and you're like, oh, it's not going to last. Right. No, if you stayed within center, it's not that it's lasting. It's how do I build upon where I am? When you have these huge wins, you know, it's like lottery tickets. People, some 90-some percent of the people that win the lottery lose all of it. I've experienced, right? I've won the lottery in life and lost all of it because I allowed that pendulum to swing too far and it swing back the other way. Now, my pendulum, hopefully, my pendulum goes like this, right? Just every day, swing, 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 swings. And eventually it gets out here, but it's at, you know, perpendicular. It's not out here completely swung. You see the difference? I've actually, that's the center point way out there. It's not the axis point.
And do you think that center point is more of your character of who you've become, you know, in the long term? Right. So why do you believe that most lottery winners lose all the money? Can you take us through why that is from the frame of momentum?
Well, yeah, I think in the frame of momentum is that they get very excited about a windfall. And instead of stopping, dropping and rolling, taking inventory, that excavate to elevate, right, they get so excited, they lose the fact that it's not their center point, that it's an access point, and that their objective should be to make it their center point. Instead, they allow it to remain an access point, which swings the pendulum back the other way by buying things they don't need to impress people they don't like, to fulfill the ego itself in some sort of separation of inferiority or superiority. They don't seek help of people who have that center point already. See, when we talk about having mentorship or knowing your what, knowing your who is finding people whose center point is already where you want your pendulum to be swinging.
Right. Right. So you choose a mentor who sits in the seat that you want to be in. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, no, you nailed it. Yeah, excellent.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to ask you is about momentum is I learned about the law of diminishing returns a long time ago. How does that apply to consistency and momentum?
Yeah. So explain to me what you know about the law of diminishing returns so other people will know as well.
So the same workout, so you can work out every day for an hour, but an hour and a half is going to be, that extra half hour isn't going to be as effective as the first half an hour, basically. That's my understanding of it.
Yeah. And so the question would be, again, say it again.
How does the law of diminishing returns have to do with everything we've already talked about regarding momentum? And how do we make sure that we're optimizing for that?
Yeah. So when we're overdoing it, because that's the idea of diminishing returns, right? That we've gone, we're swinging the pendulum the other way, right? And so it swings back to the diminished return. So when we overdo it, it's going to swing back and give us less of a return than if we're just gradually growing and moving the act, right? The idea is to move the center point, not the access point. Because if our center moves, and it's another, what I use as an example and to illustrate this is the comfort zone, the learning zone, and the anxiety zone, right? You get diminishing returns when you're in the anxiety zone. So when you physically exert yourself too much, it's in the anxiety zone. It's in the physical anxiety zone, right? So what happens? So if we stay in the learning zone, everything grows steadily. If we go out to the anxiety zone, the law of diminishing return apply. Everything closes in, right? You get less of a learning zone, less of a comfort zone. I mean, I've seen highly functioning, high actualizing people who live their life outside into that too much area of anxiety, and they end up not being able to get out of bed, right? They end up in rehab. They end up all types of places because they did not keep their access point in the learning zone. They allowed the pendulum to swing outside into the anxiety zone.
Dave, Alan and I have been learning a ton about patterns that have kind of been running our lives without us knowing. What was the most impactful pattern that you learned was running you? And what did you do to stop that pattern or shift that pattern or change it?
Yeah, I think, you know, the pattern was to please other people, right? To want to be loved by everyone. And it was running my life. I wanted what other people wanted more than what I wanted for myself. And that doesn't work. That doesn't work. I had learned to excavate before I elevated, to learn what I wanted so I could give what I had to others. And those who wanted what I had to give, that was fine. But if I had something that I didn't, I mean, someone wanted something I didn't have or I couldn't give, I would try to find it and spend my time, energy, emotion, and relationships pursuing what other people wanted.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the biggest issues for our listeners that we've seen is not everybody has people in their corner trying to lift them to the next level. And even the people who are trying to help don't always know how.
That's why Kevin and I created Next Level Group Coaching. It's a 3-month program on teams of 10 with all people committed to achieving their goals. Click the link in the show notes for more information.
And we only take 10 people at a time, so make sure you get in quick.
Was there ever a time we've heard that quote of, my talent took me to a place that my character couldn't sustain? Was there ever a time in your life where you feel like your external results exceeded your character and or your vibration? And what did you do about that?
Yeah, I think in the realm of real estate investment, that my talent took me far beyond where my character, my quantum being could withstand, right? Like the enormity of at a young age, having so much wealth and so much land, you know, golf course, ski mountain, houses, I was way over my skis and I didn't ask for help. See, you know, my pendulum had swung, and if I could have found someone that had an access point of knowing what it was like to accumulate over $100 million in real estate, or, you know, someone that could help me. But instead, I was fooling myself because in my mind, I had made it there and had never had any setbacks with real estate. I've never had any setbacks in business that I would acknowledge. And so I ended up way beyond my skis.
And do you believe that's why humility is so important as you climb in life? Because it reminds you to make sure that your character is coming with you.
Right. It reminds you that you don't know what you don't know. You know, one of the fun practices that I have, I'm not sure that we've ever even talked about this, Alan and Kevin, that I suggest everyone does. This is a Meltzer nugget for you, you know, a new one. I ask myself all the time, what would be the one thing that would happen that would shift the entire paradigm of what I believe in this? Right? Like, you know, whenever I feel sure of something, you know, like, oh, I tell people my beach house is the best investment I've ever made. Okay, what happens if, you know, cancel? There's a tsunami and it wipes out 6 blocks of the beach. Right? See, one little thing could change. Or, you know, what if gravity is a temporary circumstance created by something else? You know, I'll ask myself like these, because then it creates the humility of, let's be honest, rule number 6 is what I should be applying here, right? And everybody remember, rule number 6 is don't take yourself so seriously. So when you're sure about something, just the minute you think about one thing that could change what you're sure about, then you start realizing, I don't know what I don't know. So what am I going to do? I am going to enjoy the consistent every day, persistent without quit pursuit of my own truth, my own potential. And when I do that, I'll be happy and I'll be mostly efficient, effective, and statistically successful in a comparative analysis of what the universe wants for me. I'll be angling, in other words, towards what I want, knowing that the universe itself will put me into a better place, a better situation, or make my situation better. I don't have to, as long as I institute the law of gravity, the law of Goya, and the law of attraction.
Can you explain to us the difference between your own unique truth and then the objective truth of a statistical analysis? What I've found in business with my business clients is that what someone feels is not necessarily the whole picture, whereas if you look at the statistical bell curve of where you actually fall, it might be more objectively easier to make decisions from that standpoint. So when you say statistical success, can you go into what that means and give us an example of like why it's so important to think from a statistical perspective?
Sure. So, you know, we utilize a man-made construct of math, and it falls within the realm of an aggregate or a collective consciousness, the same way that gravity does, or the world being round. And beyond that collective consciousness, if we realize that, you know, I can statistically, according to the man-made construct of math, have 10 sales opportunities. And if I close 2 of them, and I used to only close 1, I know that I'll be twice as statistically successful at my truth, my objective, my pursuit. See, but it doesn't mean that that there wasn't 20 opportunities. I just didn't realize it. See, right? So there's always the construct of something larger or beyond me for rule number 6 to apply, that within the context of statistics, there's only one statistic I know to be true. 99% of all statistics are made up. I'm joking. 100% of all short putts don't go in. Or my favorite statistic, 100% of the things you do now get done. And to be passionate, purposeful, and profitable, you got to get stuff done.
Dave, you talked about the Do It Now folder. Speaking of Do It Now, what is your Do It Now folder? Is that literally something you just put your Do It Nows into that are top priorities? Can you go through that?
Yeah. So for me, I know my what, I know my who, and I know my how. And then that allows me to know my now, meaning allows me to prioritize by importance each day, the activity I plan, the activity I don't have planned, and my sleep. It also allows me to adjust with an adaptable routine by reassessing, reconciling with the plan that I had and the non-plan that I had, the importance of what may occur that I wasn't planning. If something arises, and this is why great leaders, intelligent followers, in other words, can make decisions so quickly, is because they know their what, their who, and their how, so they can determine their now very quickly. If something falls within the realm that I can't do it now, either because it's just urgent or it does not fit within the value system which I created for that day, just for that day, then I go ahead and either put it into my calendar as a repository to do later that day or some future date, or if it doesn't even fall within the realm of being scheduled, then it goes into an Outlook folder to be delegated or reassessed. That simple.
And do you set aside time to reassess the delegation folder?
Yes. So that's in my calendar as a scheduled activity. And so I have, a minimum of 10 minutes a day that I'm a student of my calendar, which includes, beyond just studying what I have planned, what I don't have planned in my sleep, the Do It Now folder.
Can I hammer one more?
Yeah.
Do you mind?
One more, and I got to go to Clubhouse.
Okay. This will be a little bit different. How, in your opinion, does negative self-worth affect the law of attraction for somebody?
So the law of self-worth is quantum in your nature, it's subconscious in your nature, and it's conscious in its nature. And so it creates separation. It is a trigger of the ego. It is the need to be inferior. And so how does it affect it? Same way as any other trigger, right? It creates interference between you and what you already are. It creates interference between you and what you want. It creates interference between you and the greatest source of light, love, and lessons, and everything else. It creates interference. It slows you down. It creates resistance, voids, and shortages in your life.
Dave, I know we got to go, but you mentioned that intelligent followers, you said something. You said leaders, AKA intelligent followers, super fast. I know you got to go.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
So I believe that the number one characteristic of a leader is someone that is an intelligent follower, someone that's more interested than interesting, someone that's not speaking to people, but understanding what they're listening for. Someone that is a leader is not only a mentor, a coach, and a teacher, but is an intelligent learner themselves.
Fire. Boom. Thank you, as always, Dave. We love you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Alan Lazarus and Kevin Palmieri. Good to see you guys.
Happy
4th of July. I love you. Next Level University. Check those boys out.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, as always, for joining us for another episode of Next Level University.
One podcast episode can change your life forever. If you got value from this episode, please share it with someone you care about deeply.
And we will talk to you on the next one.